Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week. Hello all, and welcome into another episode of the Poetry Tavern. Once again, I'm your host Charlotte, and this week we're going to be talking about anaphora. Basically, that's when a word or a phrase is repeated at the beginning of like sentences to create an effect, but then the rest of the sentence is different, or the rest of like the chunk is different, because like I'm saying chunk, but it's like could be paragraph, it could be, you know, stanza if we're doing poetry, verse if you're doing song, you know, so just at the end of the chunk, but it could even be the next sentence starts with the same phrase. So that's anaphora. Let's just dig right into it with our first poem. Okay, so our first poem is one I wanted to look at some modern examples, because there's a lot of poems that use anaphora, but I kind of wanted to like look at some stuff that's more modern. So let's dig into it. The first one is The School of Song by Chen Chen. My song is snow in March, in May. My song is 80 degrees the next day. My song is I couldn't decide what to get you, so here, everything. My song, the sky over Amherst, Massachusetts. My song goes happy birthday, Emily Dickinson. My song goes on field trips to Emily's house and books and dress and funky gift shop and tour guides who once worked for the post office and now work for the light, her mind. My song wants to stand as tall, as brave, as a formal postal worker, standing in the middle of Emily's room and singing, the soul selects her own society, then shuts the door. My song is different. Is a different selection. My soul wants to open the glass, sliding door of the kitchen of my parents' house outside Boston where we moved, where they are now, most likely, in the middle of making soup with fish balls and fried rice with leftover everything. My song can hear my parents' laughter, their shoulders bumping as they work, the stove, every burner on, conjuring Friday night dinner. My song hears my two brothers, home from college, sliding slipper-footed into the kitchen and hungry. My song misses them. My song wants to say, I know I haven't called, to say, I'm still angry, but you should call. My song wants my brothers to know, I'm still angry, but not with you. You who gave me the gift of a shrug of saying, that's great when I told you about the man I love. My song is the way we jumped right back to a brutal round of Uno, and I was too astonished, too glad for you both to even try saving yourself. And my song is, I still love our parents. My song knows that they are not my only family, but I do. I miss the five-part house screech of laughter around the kitchen table. How crowded we make it. How we'll never get a bigger table. How I am singing. Pick up. Pick up, I am calling you. So in this we sort of get the sense that the song that the poet is referring to, or the narrator is referring to, is a representation of the soul calling out. I mean, that was my reading of it, and it's so interesting that it sort of talks about, you know, all these things, presumably from a childhood of this person, that still make up the soul of the individual, you know, of poems read and things that happen to them, and but the idea of the soul repeatedly calling out, and that's why the song is so persistent, my soul, my soul, my soul, especially with like the last stanza singing, pick up, I'm calling, calling you, having that much repetition already in it, it sort of feels like the song is the feeling within this person calling out to a family that they've had to leave behind. And it's so interesting, the use of, like, that repetition, even to, even not just the anaphora, but also the repetition within the final stanza, and that becoming a more like persistent pushing of like trying to create this connection. I think it's so sweet, and like I just really like it. Okay, before I keep yattering on and divulging of my love of that poem and accidentally repeating myself. Let's move on to our next one, which is Tired Parent Wanting Poem by Shireen Gilmore. I want to be in a hot tub filled with macaroni and cheese. I want to be sleeping alone in a large bed. I want to be surfing the internet for new shoes too expensive for our budget. I want to be asleep while having sex and eating mac and cheese. I want to sleep sex with someone famous and beautiful, but I can't think of anybody right now. I want to stop hearing bad news. I want the internet to be only I want the internet to be only pictures of kittens or babies, not quick news bites about children killed by school shooters, children raped by officers, suicide, global warming, polar ice caps. I want a day when all I have to do is look at other people's tattoos and laugh. I want to be cryogenically frozen with my family, then wake to find the economy is better, my son's health problems have been solved, and I've won the lottery. And trees everywhere blooming pink buds. I want the world to sink outside my door so I can look out at a gulf of blue. I want to survive. Bones quaking, radioactive blue cracks, rattling still with thunder. My feet firmly planted, the meter inside me ticking down from 50,000 BTUs to 5,000 BTUs to 1 to 0. I want to unlock the clanking metal door, slide the rusty bar, open to a world scraped, flung, made new. To my son, here's our world. Let's go look for bluebirds. Let's go look for cardinals. I think something that we, or like at least I see in this poem, is that it starts very sort of like fantasy, like very human fantasies. Like, I want to be in a hot tub filled with macaroni and cheese. I've never, like, there's just like, I read that first line and I was like, oh yeah, that sounds great. Tasty and it's warm. Ugh. And then it just goes on to, like, list all of these fantasies of, like, these just simple things that could be really nice. I mean, not simple, because I think it would take an extraordinary amount of time to make enough mac and cheese to fill a bathtub. And then you'd probably lose some getting into the bathtub of mac and cheese, but that's not the point. Like, these are all things that are improbable and, in fact, illogical. Not that I want to be sleeping alone in a large bed, but, like, I think that becomes illogical with the mind that this person is a parent, of, like, the imagery of, you know, kids climbing into their parents' bed at night, especially when it's dark and scary. And this poem makes the world seem very scary. And, like, the repetition of I want things that are improbable to come to this person. And even like the I want at the end of I want to unlock the clanking metal door and like out to the world, but the world talks about being scraped, flung, made new. Like, the wanting the world to become a blank slate so that it is potentially safe, potentially not something to fear anymore. It's like it becomes this really, it starts off with these almost like, I'm not gonna say silly, but like these impractical, improbable things to this very serious thing of I want the world to be safe for my son. And I just think there's something really emotional about that, of like these are simple things to want and this is something big and like consuming and it took over the simple desires. I think it's a really like well done progression from that, and the anaphora of the I want and it's still being these improbable things. Yeah, I think it's I don't want to say lovely because it is like it breaks my heart a little bit to read it, but it, yeah, it's just good. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you all for listening. I think I've found some like emotional poems that I really liked on the journey of researching for this one, so I'm super glad, but I'm not gonna keep talking about how much I love them because I just did that for the past 10 minutes. Anyway, so next week's episode is going to be on diacope, which is basically when you have repetition to phrases. Again, I'm on a bit of a repetition kick at the moment, if you can't tell. But the phrase is broken up by like an intervening word. So like there's something in there that wasn't in there originally, but the rest of the phrase remains intact. it's almost like there's an intervening factor. But yeah, that's going to be fun. Let's see what I can find out. See ya.